When a truthsayer is gifted by the drug, she can look many places in her memory, in her body's memory. We look down so many avenues of the past, but only feminine avenues.
Her voice took on a note of sadness.
Yet there's a place where no truthsayer can see. We are repelled by it, terrorized. It is said a man will come one day and find in the gift of the drug his inward eye. He will look where we cannot, into both feminine and masculine pasts.
Your Kwisatz Haderach?
Yes, the one who can be many places at once, the Kwisatz Haderach. Many men have tried the drug, so many, but none has succeeded.
They tried and failed, all of them?
Oh, no.
She shook her head.
They tried and died.
To attempt an understanding of Muad'Dib without understanding his mortal enemies, the Harkonnens, is to attempt seeing truth without knowing falsehood. It is the attempt to see the light without knowing darkness. It cannot be. From Manual of Muad'Dib by the Princess Irulan. It was a relief globe of a world, partly in shadows, spinning under the impetus of a fat hand that glittered with rings. The globe sat on a free-form stand at one wall of a windowless room, whose other walls presented a patchwork of multicolored scrolls, film books, tapes, and reels. A light glowed in the room from golden balls hanging in mobile suspensor fields. An ellipsoid desk with a top of jade-pink petrified alaka wood stood at the center of the room. Variform suspensor chairs ringed it, two of them occupied. In one sat a dark-haired youth of about 16 years, round of face and with sullen eyes. The other held a slender, short man with effeminate face. Both youth and man stared at the globe, and the man half-hidden in shadows spinning it. A chuckle sounded beside the globe. A basso voice rumbled out of the chuckle,
"There it is, Piter, the biggest man-trap in all history, and the Duke's headed into its jaws. Is it not a magnificent thing that I, the Baron Vladimir Harkonnen, do?"
"Assuredly, Baron," said the man.
His voice came out tenor with a sweet musical quality. The fat hand descended onto the globe, stopped the spinning. Now all eyes in the room could focus on the motionless surface and see that it was the kind of globe made for wealthy collectors or planetary governors of the Empire. It had the stamp of imperial handicraft about it. Latitude and longitude lines were laid in with hair-fine platinum wire. The polar caps were insets of finest cloud-milk diamonds. The fat hand moved, tracing details on the surface.
"I invite you to observe," the basso voice rumbled. "Observe closely, Piter, and you too, Faderotha, my darling. From 60 degrees north to 70 degrees south, these exquisite ripples. Their coloring, does it not remind you of sweet caramels? And nowhere do you see blue of lakes or rivers or seas. And these lovely polar caps, so small. Could anyone mistake this place? Arrakis. Truly unique. A superb setting for a unique victory."
A smile touched Piter's lips.
"And to think, Baron, the Padishah Emperor believes he's given the Duke your spice planet. How poignant."
"That's a nonsensical statement," the Baron rumbled. "You say this to confuse young Faderotha, but it is not necessary to confuse my nephew."
The sullen-faced youth stirred in his chair, smoothed the wrinkle in the black leotards he wore. He sat upright as a discreet tapping sounded at the door in the wall behind him. Piter unfolded from his chair, crossed to the door, cracked it wide enough to accept a message cylinder. He closed the door, unrolled the cylinder, and scanned it. A chuckle sounded from him. Another.
"Well?"
the Baron demanded.
"The fool answered us, Baron."
"Whenever did an Atreides refuse the opportunity for a gesture?"
the Baron asked.
"Well, what does he say?"
"He's most uncouth, Baron. Addresses you as Harkonnen. No sire, a share cousin. No title, nothing."
"It's a good name," the Baron growled, and his voice betrayed his impatience. "What does dear Leto say?"
"He says, your offer of a meeting is refused. I have oft-times met your treachery, and this all men know."
"And?"
the Baron asked.
"He says, the art of Canley still has admirers in the Empire. He signs it, Duke Leto of Arrakis."
Piter began to laugh.
"Of Arrakis? Oh, my! This is almost too rich!"
"Be silent, Piter,"
the Baron said, and the laughter stopped as though shut off with a switch.
"Canley, is it?"
the Baron asked.
Vendetta, hey? And he uses the nice old word, so rich in tradition, to be sure I know he means it.
You made the peace gesture, Piter said. The forms have been obeyed.
For a mentat, you talk too much, Piter, the Baron said. And he thought, I must do away with that one soon. He has almost outlived his usefulness.
The Baron stared across the room at his mentat assassin, seeing the feature about him that most people noticed first. The eyes, the shaded slits of blue within blue, the eyes without any white in them at all. A grin flashed across Piter's face. It was like a mask grimace beneath those eyes like holes.
But, Baron, never has revenge been more beautiful. It is to see a plan of the most exquisite treachery. To make Leto exchange Caladan for Dune. And without alternative, because the Emperor orders it. How waggish of you!
In a cold voice, the Baron said,
You have a flux of the mouth, Piter.
But I am happy, my Baron. Whereas you are touched by jealousy.
Piter!
Baron. Is it not regrettable you were unable to devise this delicious scheme by yourself?
Some day I will have you strangled, Piter.
Of a certainty, Baron. Enfin. But a kind act is never lost, eh?
Have you been chewing verite or samuta, Piter?
Truth without fear surprises the Baron, Piter said.
His face drew down into a caricature of a frowning mask.
Aha! But you see, Baron, I know as a mentat when you will send the executioner. You will hold back just so long as I am useful. To move sooner would be wasteful, and I'm yet of much use. I know what it is you learn from that lovely Dune planet. Waste not. True, Baron?
The Baron continued to stare at Piter. Fade Rotha squirmed in his chair.
These wrangling fools, he thought. My uncle cannot talk to his mentat without arguing. Do they think I've nothing to do except listen to their arguments?
Fade, the Baron said. I told you to listen and learn when I invited you in here. Are you learning?
Yes, uncle.
The voice was carefully subservient.
Sometimes I wonder about Piter, the Baron said. I cause pain out of necessity. But he, I swear he takes a positive delight in it. For myself, I can feel pity toward the poor Duke Leto. Dr. Yui will move against him soon, and that'll be the end of all the Atreides. But surely Leto will know whose hand directed the pliant doctor, and knowing that will be a terrible thing.
Then why haven't you directed the doctor to slip a kinjal between his ribs quietly and efficiently?
Piter asked.
You talk of pity, but
the Duke must know when I encompass his doom, the Baron said. And the other great houses must learn of it. The knowledge will give them pause. I'll gain a bit more room to maneuver. The necessity is obvious, but I don't have to like it.
Room to maneuver, Piter sneered. Already you have the Emperor's eyes on you, Baron. You move too boldly. One day the Emperor will send a legion or two of his Sardaukar down here onto Gedi Prime, and that'll be an end to the Baron Vladimir Harkonnen.
You'd like to see that, wouldn't you, Piter? The Baron asked. You'd enjoy seeing the Corps of Sardaukar pillage through my cities and sack this castle. You'd truly enjoy that.
Does the Baron need to ask? Piter whispered.
You should have been a Bashar of the Corps, the Baron said. You're too interested in blood and pain. Perhaps I was too quick with my promise of the spoils of Arrakis.
Piter took 5 curiously mincing steps into the room, stopped directly behind Fade Rotha. There was a tight air of tension in the room, and the youth looked up at Piter with a worried frown.
Do not toy with Piter, Baron, Piter said. You promised me the Lady Jessica. You promised her to me.
For what, Piter? The Baron asked. For pain?
Piter stared at him, dragging out the silence. Fade Rotha moved his suspension chair to one side, said,
Uncle, do I have to stay? You said you'd...
My darling, Fade Rotha grows impatient, the Baron said.
He moved within the shadows beside the globe.
Patience, Fade.
And he turned his attention back to the mentat.
What of the Dukling, the child Paul, my dear Piter?
The trap will bring him to you, Baron, Piter muttered.
That's not my question, the Baron said. You'll recall that you predicted the Bene Gesserit witch would bear a daughter to the Duke. You were wrong, eh, Mentat?
I'm not often wrong, Baron, Piter said,
and for the first time there was fear in his voice.
Give me that. I'm not often wrong. And you know yourself these Bene Gesserit bear mostly daughters. Even the Emperor's consort had produced only females.
Uncle, said Fadrotha, you said there'd be something important here for me to...
Listen to my nephew, the Baron said. He aspires to rule my barony, yet he cannot rule himself.
The Baron stirred beside the globe, a shadow among shadows.
Well then, Fadrotha Harkonna, I summoned you here hoping to teach you a bit of wisdom. Have you observed our good Mentat? You should have learned something from this exchange.
But, Uncle, a most efficient Mentat, Piter, wouldn't you say, Fade?
Yes, but...
Ah, indeed, but... But he consumes too much spice, eats it like candy. Look at his eyes. He might have come directly from the Arakeen labor pool. Efficient, Piter, but he's still emotional and prone to passionate outbursts. Efficient, Piter, but he still can err.
Piter spoke in a low, sullen tone.
Did you call me in here to impair my efficiency with criticism, Baron?
Impair your efficiency? You know me better, Piter. I wish only for my nephew to understand the limitations of a Mentat.
Are you already training my replacement? Piter demanded.
Replace you? Why, Piter, where could I find another Mentat with your cunning and venom?
The same place you found me, Baron.
Perhaps I should at that, the Baron mused. You do seem a bit unstable lately. And the spice you eat.
Are my pleasures too expensive, Baron? Do you object to them?
My dear Piter, your pleasures are what tie you to me. How could I object to that? I merely wish my nephew to observe this about you.
Then I'm on display, Piter said. Shall I dance? Shall I perform my various functions for the eminent Fadrot?
Precisely, the Baron said. You are on display. Now be silent.
He glanced at Fadrotha, noting his nephew's lips, the full and pouting look of them, the Harkonnen genetic marker, now twisted slightly in amusement.
This is a Mentat, Fade. It has been trained and conditioned to perform certain duties. The fact that it's encased in a human body, however, must not be overlooked. A serious drawback, that. I sometimes think the ancients, with their thinking machines, had the right idea.
They were toys compared to me, Piter snarled. You yourself, Baron, could outperform those machines.
Perhaps, the Baron said. Ah, well.
He took a deep breath, belched.
Now, Piter, outline for my nephew the salient features of our campaign against the House of Atreides. Function as a Mentat for us, if you please.
Baron, I've warned you not to trust one so young with this information. My observations of...
I'll be the judge of this, the Baron said. I give you an order, Mentat. Perform one of your various functions.
So be it,
Piter said. He straightened, assuming an odd attitude of dignity, as though it were another mask, but this time clothing his entire body.
In a few days' standard, the entire household of the Duke Leto will embark on a spacing guild liner for Arrakis.